family is very important, and we realize that family is no longer defined as it once was. Mother, father, 2.5 kids. It's just not defined like that any longer. Sometimes it's single family home. Sometimes a family constitutes three people that live together because it's just more economic that way. Sometimes family, one of the reasons why certain sitcoms are most popular, like Friends, Seinfeld, all of those kind of shows, why we like them so much is because we can identify with it. Some of our best friends at work are like family. One of the reasons why we enjoy coming to church is because it is like family. Sometimes we're closest to our church family than we are to our biological family. So when we say family, we realize that it doesn't completely fit into what maybe identifies with our current situation. But family, nonetheless, identifies with all of us, even if we don't have children in our home, right? All right, so while some of the parents are with the children, we still need to talk about faith at home and why it's important that we're not just depending on the structured church, meaning coming to a building, coming to even a life group, and only depending on a teacher, a life group leader, a pastor to spoon feed us, to teach us, that we must also lead and direct and teach our children, to lead and direct and teach our spouse and our coworkers and things like that, that God needs us to do that, to fulfill that role in each other's lives. Growing up, I had a little bit, at the time, an odd situation. It's very familiar now, and it maybe is familiar in your home now. It may be familiar in the way that you grew up. I don't know. My parents were saved growing up. I didn't really even realize it at the time. My sister and I got on a church van and went to a church, the same church that I grew up in from kindergarten all the way until I graduated high school. And basically, we took faith from a church and brought it into our home. And in a lot of ways, even though my parents already knew the Lord Jesus, in a lot of ways, we brought faith into our home. In some ways, I was the pastor of my home by the time I was a teenager. It shouldn't have been that way. In a lot of ways, it was very unhealthy. It was unhealthy for me personally, and it was unhealthy for my father. My father was not fulfilling the role that he should have fulfilled in our home. He wasn't fulfilling the role that he should have for my mother or for his children, but that's the way that it was. It's part of my testimony. For that, I'm grateful for it, but it was a little less than it could have been. It was a little less effective as it should have been, even, I could say. And so what I want to talk about this morning is it can be better for our situations that we're in. And this in no way, shape, or form is meant to be condemning. This is meant to be just, hey, we can do it better. We can do it better. And so if you will, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. We're taking a diversion a little bit from the book of Acts this morning, since it is faith at home. Acts chapter 22, and we're going to take lessons from Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons and many sons. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Now you're not going to be able to get that song out of your head. Genesis chapter 22. If you're familiar with the story at all, you know that Abraham, at 75 years of age, 75 years young, God told him to get up and move. Where to, God? Just go, I'll tell you when you get there. Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you, God. You got it. Can't wait. So as he goes, he also tells him, I am going to make your descendants more numerous than the sand on the seashore. But I don't have any children. Well, you're still going to have more kids than you can count. More kids than the stars in the heavens. and you're going to have those kids in the place I'm sending you. And where was that again, God? I'll tell you when you get there. Okie dokie. So this is the Abraham that we know, and we know from the book of Hebrews that he was a man of faith. And we know that he was married to Sarah, and that Sarah was 10 years younger than he was, and that this promise was to both of them. And he was longing for a son to carry on this lineage. And this son represented to him everything. He longed for this son, this promise. Finally, at age 100, he has this son. Notice how men, when we tell this story, he had this son. Sarah had something to do with this too. And she happened to be 90. She was 90 when she had this son named Isaac. So is everybody in chapter 22, verse 1? I want to talk about some lessons that we can see. And it's lessons that Abraham taught his family, both to Isaac at the moment, and since he is Father Abraham to us now, his family. Okay? Lessons that we're learning from him at home. Chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am." He replied. By the way, we could do a whole sermon on just that. When God says Sean, when God says George, when God says Bob, when God says you, here I am, that's the correct response, by the way. "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac," okay, you got my attention, "whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." First lesson from Abraham. Abraham modeled being tested. Now we have to understand the things that we need to model to our family. Again, before I go any further, I want to bring back to your memory. Our family is our children. No matter how old they are, they may be out of the house. Your children may be older than me. Your children, you may not have any children anymore. Maybe your family is your coworkers. Maybe your family are your neighbors. You get my drift. The people that God has placed in your life, okay? We need to model being tested and what that looks like. Some people would say that if you're being tested, then that means you have a lack of faith. I would say hogwash. That if you have faith, it will be tested. God says so. And that the only way that your faith is to be strengthened is for it to be tested. That there's a difference between how you deal with the testing. That's the key. So Abraham modeled what it was to be tested. It's a foregone conclusion that our faith will be tested. Just be okay with that. Just settle that in your heart, in your mind, in your soul right now. Stop being conflicted. Stop asking questions like, why me? Why is this happening? What? I'm having a bad day? What is this weird thing that is occurring? You will be tested. Abraham was tested, and he modeled it before his son. He's modeling it before his family. He was tested, and he brought his son along with him. God said, "Abraham, yes, Lord." And he brought his son along for the testing. We must model it too. And how we're tested is key. And we need to bring our family in on it too. We don't need to hide it that we're being tested and, whoa, this is a deep, dark secret. We don't need to show any weakness at all. We don't need to show that we're being tested at all, that it's some sort of deep, dark, hidden thing that we could even perhaps be tested. No, they need to see that testing is a reality and that how we deal with the testing is what proves our mettle, what proves that we run to God rather than running from God. That's important. They need to see that. If they don't see that, when they're tested, they can make the wrong decision and they can run from God instead of to him. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. Remember, he was just told, that son you just waited 25 years for, that son, by the way, he's your biological son, the son that you've held, the son that wooed and cooed and all of the baby stuff that babies do, that you love, and you looked into his eyes and he looks like you and he looks like Sarah and oh my gosh and all of those kind of things. That son, he just told you to go and sacrifice him. That just happened. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled the donkey. He took with him two of the servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham modeled worship. Now, notice he said, we will come back to you. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, but notice that he modeled worship. He modeled worship. It's very evident that the sacrificial system was way different back then, that we don't sacrifice now. I completely understand that, and it's very, very hard to put that into today's context. I understand that. However, it's very evident that Abraham had a lifestyle of worship, that it was a part of his everyday life, that he planned it, he scheduled it, he prepared for it, and that he brought his son along with him, that his son was a part of it, that his son was a part of carrying some of the elements, figuratively and literally. His son was a part of it. He modeled worship. He made a day of it. Abraham modeled something. He modeled what maybe the best correlation we can have today is, he modeled going to a place of worship and bringing his son along with him. The same way that we would go to a house of worship, a home where we would come together and sing together. We would come together around the scriptures and discuss them. That we would come together and pack food up to send overseas. Whatever the case may be, that we would calculate our time, that we would set it aside in order to serve and worship God. That he did this and he included his son, that he made his family a part of it, that he modeled this for his son and for his family. It was planned. There's no other way to look at it. It was planned. The Holy Spirit is about spontaneity, 100%. The Holy Spirit is also about planning, 100%. It's not two different things. It's one and the same. And it can be one and the same. It's important that we see that. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Abraham modeled confidence in God. It goes back to when he said, and we'll be back to you. He said, we're going to go on and we're going to worship God and we'll be back. He didn't say, I'll be back. I'm going to be hanging my head low because My kid's not going to be with me. I'll be back. He had confidence in God. By the way, guys, I mean, if you're not seeing the correlation between the foreshadowing between Jesus Christ and Isaac, carrying his own wood, carrying his own cross, the 3 days looking up and going up the mountain, and all of these kind of things. It's a beautiful foreshadowing of Jesus and his only son and the father sacrificing. And Abraham modeled confidence in God. He knew that he couldn't accomplish it, but he knew that God could. Ultimately, in your heart of hearts, you and I didn't know Abraham. I don't think. Did anybody know Abraham? I didn't know Abraham, but yet we know Abraham because we know ourselves. We know what it's like to have a son or a daughter. Most of us anyway. If not, you know. You just know. You know that you know that you know. You know that you just can't do that. You can't bring yourself to do that, but yet ultimate confidence is you know that you can't do it, but you know that God can. You know that God can pull you through it. You know, as a kid, I used to be scared to death, particularly thinking of the book of Revelations and thinking of end times and the whole thing about Mark of the Beast. And guys, I'm not getting off on that tangent, so please don't ask me to or anything else. That's not for the time and place. But just the whole concept of, you know, what would happen? You know, what if somebody sticks a gun in your face and asks you to deny Christ? Would you be able to do it? All that kind of stuff. And I remember that used to really, like, just torment me as a kid. And I remember going up to I believe he was an usher in the church I grew up in, and just asking him, how do I reconcile that? You know, how do I have peace about that? And I remember him saying, God will provide the grace you would need in that moment. And it's true. And I believe that Abraham, in that moment, received the grace that he needed. And I believe confidence is another great word, at least in this context, for grace. That he had the confidence in God, or you could say the grace from God. That if indeed God wanted him to sacrifice his only son, he could do it. The confidence wasn't in himself, wasn't in his own ability, wasn't in his own power, wasn't in his own goodness or grace or anything else. It was in God's grace. It was in God's own power. God simply knew best. Plain and simple. Notice that Isaac asked his father a simple question. Kids ask you questions all the time, right? But why? But why, Daddy? Well, because. But why? Kid, if you don't... No, I would never do that. Don't model that, seriously. That was just a joke that shouldn't have been told just now. But it was a simple question. And quite honestly, it was a simple answer. But a very profound answer. And I wonder if Abraham even knew how profound. This is what Abraham modeled. He modeled instruction of the gospel. Notice what his answer was. It wasn't, Isaac, look, you have no earthly idea how stressed out I am right now. Yeah, you're carrying the wood. Yeah, you don't know where the lamb is. You have no idea you're about to die, but I know you're about to die. That's how stressed I am right now. Could you just give me a moment? What he says gives him good news. He gives him the gospel message. He says, God will provide the lamb. He gives him the very character of God. Let's just for a moment take out what we obviously know now, having known the gospel message that Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God. Let's just take out that knowledge, which it sounds sacrilegious for me to even say that, but my point is just the first part of it, that God will provide. Just that aspect of it, that he's giving the character of God. That it, basically he's saying, it's okay, God. And then he says, it's okay, God's got a plan. He's sending Jesus in your place. He's sending something. He's sending a lamb in your place. You don't have to die. That's what he's saying. And that's what we have to model to our families. That's what we have to model to our extended families, to our workplace, to our kids, to our parents. Abraham modeled the instruction of the gospel. Ultimately, that's what we have to do in both word and deed. Right? Absolutely. That's what we have to do. That's faith at home, ultimately. Verse 9. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham modeled laying down his Isaac. We need to model to our families laying down our Isaac. What is your Isaac? We not only have to lay it down. Do you remember what Jesus Christ said? He said, you must love me more than your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, more than anything. That's laying down your Isaac. You must love me more than your job, more than your identity, more than your toys, more than your relationships, more than your money, more than anything. That's laying down your Isaac. And one up it, now you must model that to your family. That's what Abraham did. That's what we're called to do. That is a lesson that we can learn from Father Abraham. Laying down our Isaac. Bound him and laid him down. Let me just again tell you who Isaac was. Isaac was his son. His biological blood flowing through his veins, cooing, lovable, well, not cooing at this point because he was walking and was able to carry wood, but you get my point. He was his son who had a personality, and he loved him and gave him high fives and fist bumps and hugs and had a personality, and they had a relationship. Isaac also represented his ministry, represented the promise of God, represented his identity, represented everything. What is Abraham known for? The father. Father Abraham. He's known for the father of many nations. What did that start with? Isaac. Isaac wasn't just a biological son. Isaac was everything to Abraham. He was asked to lay down everything. Whew. Wow. And he did it. He did it. And he was just about to plunge the knife in. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Again, right answer. He replied, verse 12, do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Another lesson from Abraham. Abraham modeled not withholding anything. See, Abraham did not have a compartment of his life that had a do not touch sign. He did not have a certain element of his life that was still under construction, that God still didn't have his fingerprint on. he still didn't have a part of his life that wasn't quite holy yet, meaning set apart for God. Holy, again, in Scripture does not mean perfect. It means set apart. So it wasn't like he had dual personalities like many, unfortunately, of us have. Abraham did not have one personality at church and another personality in the marketplace. He didn't have vices that he was still holding on to because he just liked them so much. And God was telling him, look, I need you to do something with this. And he's like, no, I'm not quite ready for you to touch that yet. He wasn't holding anything back. And he modeled that to his family. We're called to model that to our family. Our family is looking on. Our family notices when we do that. Notice, God said, now I know that you fear God. What demonstrated to God that he feared him was that he held nothing back. Feared, not meaning, don't kill me. Fear meaning, you respect me. Fear meaning, you revere me. Fear meaning, you completely honor me. That's how we demonstrate to God, ultimately, our love. Do you remember what Jesus said? If you love me, you will obey my commandments. We withhold nothing. Got two more lessons, guys. By the way, I tried to do 7 because, you know, 7 is the number of completion. And everything's neat and tidy with 7. But I got 8. I've got 8. So we're at 6, so I've got 2 more, guys. All right, here we go. verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On this mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Abraham modeled trusting that he will provide. I've heard Jehovah Jireh, one of God's names. Jehovah Jireh, it means the Lord will provide. That we need to demonstrate that we trust that God will provide. That we don't trust just in our employer. We don't trust just in our employer. We don't just trust in our hands. We don't just trust in our minds. We don't just trust in a raise. We don't just trust in the government. We don't just trust in these things. Not that any of those things are evil in of themselves. But God provides. God provides. And that's what Abraham did. Abraham not only trusted it, but he had a way of demonstrating it before his son. And we need to demonstrate that before our family. We need to model that before our family. And we don't model that when we're worrying before them, when we're stressed before them. Now, I'm not saying don't be frugal in front of them. I'm not saying don't make wise decisions. You're not demonstrating that you're trusting in God by just blowing money to the wind and saying, well, I'm trusting God and I'm trying to demonstrate it to my family. And that's the best way I can, is just blowing it and saying, hey, I trust God. God's going to provide this. No. Now you're showing them that you're not a good steward. And that's another lesson for another time that I'm sure Abraham will give us a lesson at some point about too. Abraham modeled that we can trust God. And he even said that this place right here I'm going to call this place the Lord will provide. And I'm going to remember this place that there was a ram in the thicket and now I don't have to sacrifice my son. Amazing stuff. All right, verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself. I love this. Usually we're like, guys, seriously, I got to tell you this. I swear to God this happened. This is great because he's like, I swear by myself. This is great. Sorry, I thought it was funny anyway. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord. And because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand of the seashore. Why do you think he repeated himself? Repeated himself of the promise. Because and Abraham probably was really conflicted. Abraham was probably really fearful. Abraham was probably like, God, I don't understand. You promised it and then you told me to kill it. He was probably reassuring him, that promise that I told you about, that promise that I prophesied to you, that promise is still in effect. That promise is still yes and amen. That promise is still going to happen. In fact, that promise is more sure than ever before because of what you just did. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. The last lesson I want to talk about today from Abraham is Abraham modeled obedience brings blessing. Can we be obedient to God? This is usually where the rub happens, particularly within a grace-filled people, because obedience sometimes becomes a bad word. Because we don't know how to do anything without taking it to excess. Because sometimes obedience is a bad word. I'm one of those type of people who has a hard time. Now, I can drink a beer, and I don't have a problem drinking a beer without taking it to excess. Doesn't make me better than you or anything. I'm just saying, for some reason, I don't have a problem with taking that to excess. But taking obedience, I do have a problem taking that to excess. For whatever reason, I gravitate towards the law. My point in this is obedience itself is not wrong. In fact, God honors obedience, as you can see here. God desires obedience. We just quoted Jesus earlier. He said that if you love me, you will obey my commandments, that he desires our obedience. In fact, it proves we do not love him if we do not obey him, that our obedience flows from a heart that is surrendered to him. That if we're not obeying him, that it means our heart isn't surrendered to him. It means that there's still chambers of our heart that aren't sold out to him, that aren't flowing his direction, that aren't centered around him. There's a scripture that says that obedience is better than sacrifice. That he desires for us to obey rather than even sacrifice. He wants us to obey him. The thing here with Abraham is that he had his son, again, that represented everything, his identity, his calling, his ministry, his everything. And he was willing to give it up. He was laying down his Isaac out of obedience, out of his love. Could I have the worship team come up? And he was modeling it for his family. And that's truly faith at home. what we talked about this morning and what all of the teachers talked about this morning in their classes, we can bring to our homes. We don't have to just wait to come to church or wait to go to a life group to be instructed from God's word. That we, the faithful saints of God, can share God's word with one another, and we are instructed to do so, and we can do so. Amen? Let's worship some more. We're going to have a baptism. Good stuff. Why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship some more. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for being that spotless lamb. Lord, right now, I just pray that we can flourish outside of these four walls, outside of the walls or wherever we meet as life groups, Lord, that Lord, we can have and grow in our faith, Lord, in our home, Lord, wherever that home is, Lord, and whatever that family constitutes, Lord. Lord, that I pray that we would lay down our Isaacs. Lord, that we would model to our families the things that your word says to model. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the incredible opportunity to worship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.